It's good to be with you this morning. I had a thrilling time last night just to talk about hunting and then also to talk about the goodness of who God is, and it is good to be with you. Again, my name is Stephen Little. I'm the president of Baptist Church Planters. We serve all across the USA and church planting, church revitalization, intentional discipleship training. We have missionary builders. This last year when the hurricanes hit Houston, we developed a disaster response because we have builders. Churches were calling upon us. Other agencies were calling upon us. And there's so many things we do across the USA. I have a saying around Baptist Church Planters, and that is we facilitate, as an agency, we facilitate Baptist churches and the missionaries they send to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus never gave that command of the Great Commission to a mission agency. In fact, we aren't even found in the Bible. He gave that commission to the church, like yours, to fulfill in all the earth. And Baptist Church Planters is here just to simply help facilitate that process so you as a church and churches all across America, that churches can fulfill that commission by training up another generation of those that they send, and also as a church to reach your community. And that's really important because Jesus never said, I'm going to build my mission agency. He said, I'm going to build my church. In fact, he never even said, I'm going to build my mission family of missionaries. Missionaries, I reminded all of our missionaries that we serve across the U.S. that we as missionaries are the workhorse of the church so that the church can fulfill all that God has given to her to accomplish both here in the U.S. and around the world. So I'm privileged to be in your presence this morning, and I'm humbled to be in the presence of God's people. I travel about 48 weekends a year. And I'm in churches mainly. And again, this weekend is just a joy. Next weekend I'll be in Wisconsin. And last weekend I was in Texas. And it's great to see the people of God meeting for the worship of God, regardless of what part of the country or what language or what ethnicity, whether it's around the world. I served in Brazil. And the church there, the church that we established called Igreja Batista em Setúbal. And they're worshiping the same God today. And they're worshiping the same Lord Jesus Christ. And they're picking up a Bible the same as we have, except it's in Portuguese. And they're studying God's Word just like we're going to do today. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Before I get going in the message, I have, there were so many prizes given away last night. I got one more this morning. This is for the ladies. And, who has a birthday that's closest to today? Anybody have a birthday that's today? Any of the ladies? Raise your hand right up. Anybody close to today? Come on. Ladies? Anybody? When's your birthday? The 7th. Anybody have a birthday closer than the 7th? When's your birthday? Tomorrow. Anybody got a birthday closer than tomorrow? All right, come on up here, young lady. She's like, oh, brother. I brought a birthday gift for you. All right, let's give her a round of applause. And what's your name? Kirsten? Yes. Kirsten, don't pay attention to those cameras up there, okay? All over the place where I go, I'm in the process of helping people become disciples of Christ, okay? So I brought you a gift, and this is a gift for a nice young lady like yourself because it's a daily devotional. It's a poetry with scripture and a thought. And a lady, a dear lady by the name of Jean Witterer, she wrote this for ladies. So I have two purposes in giving this to you, okay? Number one is to assist you in your journey, your spiritual growth in your journey as a young lady. And I hope you enjoy it, okay? And this is the other thing. I've signed it. I said, enjoy. Stephen Little, President of Baptist Church Planters. When you're done with it, okay, I want you to start praying and asking God, who may I give this to? What other lady or young lady that you could give this to? And then you sign it on the inside and you say, hey, whatever you want to say in here, you say. And then you begin to pray for that young gal or lady on their spiritual journey and ask them to do the same thing. And we're going to see how far this thing goes before Jesus comes, okay? All right. Happy birthday. I'm a discipler. I know I'm the president, but that doesn't give me the leisure of just speaking, but actually discipling people. Last night, you didn't know this last night, but right after I was done speaking and the prizes were starting to be given away, my cell phone rang on the table and it was one of my disciples. And he was asking me, he says, Steve, I need some advice because tomorrow afternoon I'm meeting with a friend of mine. His marriage is crashing and I need some advice on how to guide this man and challenge this man. And so it's a responsibility. I spent about 10, 15 minutes with him off in a side room while everything else was going on. Because we're all in the midst of helping others follow Christ and impact other people's lives. This morning I want to go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, if you would take your Bibles and go there. In fact, in your bulletins there's a handout. If it'll help you, remember some of the things from this message regarding the revelations of God and the gospel. I spoke about this last night. I want to amplify it this morning. In regards to the revelations of God, last night it was very general. I want to drill down this morning and get into some more specifics of it. But I would like to look today at three things. I want to look at general revelation. I'll identify what that means. I want to look at special revelation, what that means, and how those two things are connected to, if I could put it in this term, missiology. That's what I do all the time. It's the process and the development of the gospel in our lives personally, in the impact that we have in the world around us, and then collectively as a church, you are engaged because I've seen a little bit of your website and your emphasis of what you do. Then collectively as a body, you are thrusting people forward and you're supporting missionaries and you're sending forward people from yourself into all the world. We call that a missiological process, a mission-related process. And so I want to take general revelation, special revelation, and see how it's connected to, in a personal way, to our impact this week right here in Midland, Michigan. That's where I'm at, right? Yeah. Last week I was in Texas and I thought I was in California. It wasn't. This week in Midland. Because none of you are going to Wisconsin next week, right? You're going to all stay basically here. You reside here. And you're going to impact the world around you. And so I want to try to make that connection here in Romans chapter 1. So today I want us to see how general revelation is connected to special revelation and how both of those are connected to missiology or a mission process or the gospel, if we could put it in that way. So let's read Romans 1. I'm going to focus on just two verses, but I want to read verse 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, the word there is suppress, but who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it to them. For the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Let's ask God to bless our time together. It's good to be with you. The wonderful thing about being collectively together is we can all approach the throne of God together. Isn't that a wonderful truth? This is the other great truth. I didn't have to kill anything this morning to confess to Him my own failures. I could go directly before the throne of God. Didn't have to go to a high priest. Didn't have to go to a priest. Didn't have to kill a lamb. For me, it probably would have been a turtle dove. But you didn't have to do any of that this morning because we have direct access. And so collectively, we can approach the throne of Almighty God through the human representative called the God-man, that's Jesus Christ. He's God, He's man, and He's in His glorified body, and He bears in His glorified body the marks of crucifixion still in His body, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He intercedes for us on our behalf, and He's our high priest this morning. Isn't that wonderful? And you can go to Him anytime. Freely, that's what we had in Sunday school class. Freely and openly go to Him anytime. Because He's our Father, and Jesus is our brother, and He carries a human body just like we have, except He overcame death. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful He overcame death. Because that's our biggest enemy. And death's a consequence of sin. But He overcame death, therefore I need not be afraid of death, because I'm found in Him. And if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ and you're in Him, you have got it made. Because He's got you covered at the right hand of the throne of God. So let's go to Him right now and pray. Thank You, Father, that we have access to You through the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, seated in the heavens at Your right hand. I'm thankful that when He arrived in heaven after His ascension and was seated, that You sent the Spirit of God into the earth to dwell with Your people and in Your people, we as Your people. Bear witness with His Spirit that we are the children of God. And Your Word says, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. As we open this text, which You, through Your Spirit, move the Apostle Paul to write, we ask now, all these years later, that You would impart these truths to us, and we would be better for it. As we leave this place this morning and go into the world that we live in and bear witness of You, we give You thanks for the freedoms that we enjoy in our nation. We ask that You would guard those and we would not squander those freedoms, but use them for Your glory, for Your honor, for the building of Your church. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at verse 20. I want to tear apart verse 20. I mentioned verse 20 last night, that it's the creation of God. Hunters know and understand the creation of God. But I want to look at verse 20 this morning, and I want to look at five things about verse 20, and I'm going to move through them quickly. I'm not going to belabor them, but I think it's good for us to see within this one verse things about this creation, which we call general revelation. This general revelation in verse 20, the creation, it is a consistent revelation of God. Notice it says, since the creation of the world, this speaking forth of the creation. In fact, the psalmist says this about the creation. Day unto day and night unto night it speaks. You can never get away from it. It's consistent. It's from the morning till night and from the evening till morning. It continues to speak. All that's around us speaks forth and it's consistent. It doesn't matter whether you are a Christian or whether you are an unbeliever, whether you are in Peru or you're in Brazil or you're in Iraq. This creation consistently, day unto day and night unto night, it speaks forth. Secondly, it is, though, a limited revelation. It is limited to the invisible attributes. It is a limited. It only shows us something about God, but it does not show us the things that special revelation, which is the Word of God, it does not show us what we looked at. I was in the Sunday school class in here. It does not show us this creation, does not show us what redemption is. It doesn't show us what forgiveness is or our inheritance in Christ. It's limited to the attributes and to who God is as a creative God. I that's why I love being in the woods in the fall time, because the trees are just alive with colors, and it's a declaration to me of the creativity of who God is. I was doing a class at Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Time kind of gets lost in my schedule, but I was doing a class called Current Day Issues in Missiology. And I was in a classroom where apparently it was shared with one of the classes on the humanity and how our bodies are made up in biology, and there was a genome map on the wall of the human body. I mean, the thing was this wide and 5 feet tall, and real, I had to walk right up to it to see all the lettering, and it's the human genome map of a human, just the cells in a body, and it was like, wow, the intricacy, but that is a declaration of the creativity of God. And we totally reject that we came from a blob. But we are a direct creation of God, very intricate. And even our genome map speaks to us about who God is. In fact, as humanity, as man, we are made in His image. We're made like God. So, but this creation, this which we see and we touch and we smell and we hear it, all of the senses that are active in seeing what God has created, even what we see is limited. Thirdly, this creation, this general revelation, it is a clear revelation. Notice what the text says. Clearly seen. This word clearly seen means to perceive clearly and thoroughly. If you study it, it is a clear demonstration of who God is. And there's no one on planet Earth, regardless of nation, regardless of language, regardless of ethnicity, there's no one on planet Earth that escapes this revelation. It's around us. It speaks day unto day and night unto night. Fourthly, it is understandable. It is an understandable revelation. The text says, being understood, these things about God, being understood by the things that are made. You can understand it if you take time to study it and you embrace it. It's understandable. And fifthly, it's purposeful revelation. Notice what the very end of the verse says. It says this, so that they who see it and hear it and smell it and interact with it, they are without excuse. It's purposeful. Nobody is ever going to stand before God, regardless of where they lived on planet Earth. No one's going to ever stand before God and say, "I didn't know." God will turn it right back around and said, "I have been speaking to you through even what I created." And I want to tell you, everyone you walk into contact with this week, everyone that you rub shoulders with this week, they have been being spoken to by God, about God, through that which is created, and they cannot escape it. Is there a rule about having to keep this on? Whew, I'm hot. Can I take this off? Where's the pastor? 2-3 pastors are gone. I'm going to throw the other ones under the bus, okay? Love it. I put out so much heat. It's terrible. All right. Everyone you come into contact with, everyone that I come into contact, my world is different than yours, but your world is right here. Everyone you walk in, you need to know this. Everyone you walk into contact with this week has been being spoken to by God through that which they see. Now, verse 18 says that the wrath of God is going to be revealed against those who suppress this truth in unrighteousness. But that does not mean it has not been speaking to them. On top of that, on top of verse 20 is verse 19. And verse 19 says, what may be known of God. Here's another revelation. The verse 20 is an external revelation. It's revealing God. It's all around them. But verse 19 is another revelation. And this revelation in verse 19 says, what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So there's this external revelation, and then there's this internal revelation that resides in all of mankind. Every single person has this. And I think this is a built on top of the general revelation of the creation, but this is something God's speaking in them about what they see. And then it goes beyond that, I believe, but I don't want to necessarily say it's conscience. It could be, but it's an internal knowledge that there is a God. I've had the privilege of leading a lot of people to the Lord over the years. In the language of Portuguese and in the language of English. And almost all of them, when they embraced Christ, and through the beginning parts of discipleship, almost all of them came to me and said, "You know, Steve, for years I have known. There was something in me that was nagging me that there is a God." And that's the revelation that's spoken about in verse 19. You may have felt that. You came to Christ, and as you evaluated your pre-salvational years, you said to yourself, I couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew internally that there was a God out there, and now I know Jesus, the Son of God, because this is what reveals the Son of God. And someone shared this with you. But internally and innately you understood that. Not Jesus, but that there is a God. And the creation revealed that to you as well. Now, verse 21 is, there's a response that God is expecting from general revelation and from this internal revelation. And verse 21 lays out what God's expectation is for those revelations in regards to mankind. Not just to Christians, but in regards to mankind. Notice what verse 21 says. Verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Gives us a glimpse into what He expected from them, even though they didn't do it. First, He expected that they would glorify Him. Those who suppress this truth in unrighteousness in verse 18, those who suppress and hold down that truth in unrighteousness, they end up not glorifying God because they suppress that truth. And the only reason they suppress that truth is because they know that's true. It's very interesting. I know it's true, so I'm going to suppress it. You can't suppress something unless you first know something exists. And once you know something exists, you make the conscious choice to suppress it. But the response that God wanted from those who see all of this is that they would elevate it, not suppress it, but hold it up like this and examine it, and then glorify Him for it. And the word glorify here means to render it excellent. It means to proclaim as renowned and make manifest. To look at it and say, whoa, baby, look at this thing. It's amazing. And second response God's expecting is that they would be thankful for it. And not replace it with something else, as man has done. The word thankful means to give thanks or to express gratefulness. Now there's a movement in world missions. There's a movement in world missions. If you go to liberal Bible colleges or even, it's moving. There's a movement that says that if a man, woman, or child are obedient to general revelation, that it is sufficient, their obedience to that and elevating it and seeing it, it means they're saying, they're beginning to say, that that obedience is enough to satisfy God and they're saved. That is erroneous teaching. That is erroneous. It is wrong. It is not of God. Because if you go over to Romans chapter 10, if you continue Paul's thought, and you go to Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the creation..." No, upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is what Paul's developing through Romans. It's by the grace of God he's provided a Savior. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on Him they have not believed? In other words, how in the world, and this is the argument, how in the world are they going to call upon somebody they don't even believe in? And how shall they believe? Look at what it goes on to say, verse 14 of Romans chapter 10. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Question mark. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? The argument is, well, wait a minute. The general revelation's been speaking to them. They're obedient to it. That's got to be enough because these people in far-reaching countries have never heard about Jesus. They've never heard or read a Bible. But Paul goes on. He answers that. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And the next statement is this. It's a question. And how shall they preach this unless they are sent? That's our job. That's why it's important for churches all around the world to raise up another generation that the church can send forth, because in the divine purposes and sovereign oversight of God from the heavens, He sees what man is doing, and whenever He sees faith elevated over that which He created, He will send a preacher to proclaim this. And that's why it's important for your church and your school to raise up another generation of those who are continually being trained how to proclaim the riches of Christ, which elevates the creativity of God and shows that salvation is by none other than Jesus Christ, even though the creation has declared that God exists. I struggled through this when I was in Bible college, and I had a professor by the name of Dr. Floyd Berrickman. He was the writer of the book Practical Christian Theology. And I was studying Matthew chapter 28, which is the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission is very clear. Jesus says, in your goings, that's what's going to happen this week. I could go around this room and say, where are you going this week? And you would say, oh, I'm going to work. I'm going to Walmart. I'm going to the auto parts store. I'm going home. Many of you this morning say, going out to eat. Those are going to be your goings this week, and the Great Commission is really clear. Therefore, in your goings, that's not a command, that's a participle for you grammarians. Matthew 28:19, go therefore, it literally is, therefore in your goings, here's the command, make disciples. Make followers. So I went to Dr. Berkman. I was studying that verb, that command, present, active, imperative. I was studying that. And I went to Dr. Berkman. I said, Doc, I don't get it. This is a command from Jesus for me to go make a disciple. I thought that was an act of God, not Steve Little. I thought someone becoming a follower of Jesus was a divine act of God by His grace and His mercy, and yet Jesus commands me to do this. How does that work? And he said, you got a minute, Mr. Little? I said, yeah. He said, sit down. I said, okay. And he started in Romans chapter 1. And he said this, Mr. Little, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day, and night unto night, God speaks. On top of that, Mr. Little, Romans 1:19 says, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it to them. Mr. Little, God is way out ahead of you. And on top of that which man sees, Mr. Little, and on top of that which is inside of man, Mr. Little, God has chosen to reveal Himself through His Word, which He gave to all of mankind. And on top of that, Mr. Little, once Jesus arrived in heaven, the Father sent the Spirit of God to dwell in His people, and the Word of God says He moves, the Spirit of God moves like a wind through the earth, convicting men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so, Mr. Little, God's way out ahead of you. And then on top of all of that, Mr. Little, there's you. And you are to be God's witness in the midst of all that God is doing. You are to be God's witness of what He has done in you. and what he has, and even declaring what he has spoken in here, not just as information, Mr. Little, but as a reality of what spiritual life is in Jesus Christ and the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. So it changes every area of you so that you become a witness of the work of God in you. Not just some Bible thumper with a steel-bound Bible beating people up with the Word of God. And on top of that, Mr. Little, he was a gray-haired old man. But he got all torqued up. And he says, on top of that, Mr. Little, when you're working with somebody and then you bring them to the ecclesia, the gathering of God's people, and they say, you mean to tell me that God is doing this in all these people? God's way out in front of you, Mr. Little. So in your goings, you do your part. But you are just one cog in the whole wheel of what God is doing in your world. I was with a donor in upstate New York having lunch in a restaurant, talking about needs of Baptist church planters and da da da. And I'm in my goings. And he was in his goings. We're in a restaurant, much like you will be today. And in my goings, there's a server. Just like you have. Someone serving you. And she's serving our table and doing a great job. And we're talking about BCP, and all of a sudden the Lord is convicting me about what's happening not just across the table from me, but what's happening around me. And so that server comes up, brings a meal, and she says, they say the same thing all the time. Is there anything else I can get for you? And I said, yeah, there's one other thing you can get for me, you can do for me. And she leans down, she says, what can I do for you? I said this to her. I said, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to pray for this meal. How can I, look her right in the eyes, how can I pray for you? As Baptists, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. We can represent others before the throne of God. I just simply asked her, how can I pray for you? Tears welled up in her eyes. And she told me about her grandmother, who was struggling physically and some need in her grandmother's life. And I said, I will pray for you. So I prayed for her and our meeting went on. At the end of our meeting, the fellow sitting across the table made an interesting observation. And this is what he said. He said, you know, Steve, he said, we came in here. We planned on talking about Baptist church planters. And he said, I'm leaving here without a disciple. You are not. He said this was a comment. I've never forget it. He said, I've noticed that every time that girl came back to our table, she never once addressed me. She only addressed you. Why, folks? Not because I'm good. It's because God moved in my heart in the middle of that moment to say, pay attention to what I'm doing around you. Not just doing for, I was there to get some donations. What God is doing around you, explain to her what's in you. And I simply gave her an opportunity to say, this is a need that I have, and I said I would pray for her. I communicated a whole lot of things to her in that moment. I communicated, unknowingly almost, that I care. I communicated that God cares. I communicated that I have access to God. I communicated unwittingly, unknowingly, that God not only cares, but God hears. And he said, we're leaving here and you got a disciple. Because she's looking to you for something more than that. I said, you know, brother, I don't live in upstate New York. I live in Ohio. I said, brother, if I were you, I would come back to this restaurant and ask to be seated in her place. And you follow up on her and find out how her grandmother's doing. Wherever we go this week, all the connections we have, and maybe even the people that you brought to the game dinner, or people you're rubbing shoulders with, enter into their lives, relationally connect yourself to them for this purpose, that you might connect into their lives the God that loves you, that you've accepted as a personal Savior, and be a demonstration and a witness of what God has done in you. You don't need to beat them up with a steel-bound Bible. You need to show them you love them, you care for them, and that God has loved you and what you have in Christ. And if we do that, we will make followers, first of all of us, and then they will learn to follow the one that we have as a Savior called Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this simple message from Romans 1 on all that you've created externally, internally. It's no wonder, in light of this, that the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth. Wonderful truth for us to take with us. Help us to understand the power is not in our witness, but in the gospel. Help us, God, to be the witness, to be the declaration of what you've done in us for your glory, for the good of those around us, for the reaching of this community, for the cause of Jesus Christ, our Savior, seated at your right hand, building his church on planet Earth. Help us to be an effective part of that, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.